Welcome to the Lancet Respiratory Medicine Podcast. I'm Aaron Van Dorn. Today on the podcast, I'm speaking with Dr. Jordan Feld, an associate professor of medicine at the University of Toronto and a hepatologist at the Toronto Centre for Liver Disease. We discuss the use of PEG interferon lambda in the treatment of ambulatory COVID-19 patients.
Dr. Feld, what was the rationale behind studying PEG interferon lambda in outpatients with COVID-19 who had mild symptoms or asymptomatic?
So the reason we chose to study PEG interferon lambda is we really wanted to take advantage of the normal innate antiviral immune response, of which interferons are a major component. And the type 3 interferons, interferon lambda, are a little different than the usual type 1 interferons, mainly because they have a more restricted receptor distribution, meaning that they don't tend to give as many off-target side effects. So type 1 interferons like interferon alpha and beta are effective, but they often cause a lot of side effects and may actually promote an inflammatory syndrome. Whereas the type 3 interferons, the receptor is only present on epithelial tissues like the lung, the liver, and the intestine. So you get a more focal antiviral response without the off-target side effects. And we know this virus really blocks the production of interferons. So by giving back interferons, we're reinstating one of the major components of the antiviral immune response. And I think a real key component of this approach is that it's really not a viral sequence specific. So as we've seen with the emergence of these new strains, which raise concerns about some of the therapies like monoclonals and even the vaccine, the nice thing about interferons is they're really host-targeted antivirals and should work against any viral strain. So that was our rationale. And then going into the ambulatory population as a first off was really to demonstrate the antiviral effect. Using antivirals, it makes the most sense to use this earliest in infection. And we really did see the benefit was greatest when it was given at the earliest time point in infection. We also see the benefit in ambulatory patients are really two things. One is hopefully preventing people from having a more severe course and ending up in hospital, but also, and perhaps more importantly, a prevention benefit. When we can bring down virus levels, we reduce the likelihood that people are going to spread the virus unwittingly to others, and that public health benefit might even be greater than the benefit to individuals.
What was the aim of the study, and how did you conduct the study?
So the aim of the study was simple. We really wanted to demonstrate an antiviral effect of interferon lambda, and it was a simple design. So we took people who were well enough to be discharged to home isolation with confirmed COVID-19 infection, and they were randomized one-to-one to receive either a saline placebo or a single dose of PEG interferon lambda, 180 micrograms, which is given as a single subcutaneous injection. And people were followed then in a combination of with in-clinic visits as well as with remote monitoring, and they did self-collected nasal swabs daily, and we looked at the time to clear a virus, with our primary endpoint being the proportion of people who had cleared virus by day 7. We chose day 7 for two reasons. One, early data from the pandemic suggested that we would see very few people without treatment clearing that early, and we may see more people with interferon treatment clearing that early. And we also felt on a practical level, if we weren't seeing viral clearance by day 7, that treatment in an outpatient setting might not be all that useful.
And what did you find?
We were pleased to see that the treatment did have quite a significant antiviral effect. So we saw a marked acceleration of the clearance of virus in people who were treated with PEG interferon lambda compared to those who received placebo. And we saw this in a few different ways. We saw that the viral levels done as a quantitative measurement of the virus fell more rapidly. And by 7 days of treatment, there was quite a difference in the mean viral level in patients treated with PEG interferon lambda compared to placebo. In fact, it was 2.4 logs lower, which, just to put it in context, is much greater than the antiviral effect we're seeing with the monoclonals that have received early authorization, where we're seeing about a 0.3 to 0.5 log decline. So a fairly profound antiviral response. And then reassuringly, particularly in people who started out with a high viral load, we saw a much higher percentage clearing virus by day 7 of people who started with over 10 to the 6th copies of virus at baseline. 78% had cleared by day 7 compared to just 38% in the placebo group. And even those who remained positive in the treatment arm had very low levels of virus, likely well below the level required for transmission. So we were pretty impressed with the antiviral effect of the treatment.
What were the main limitations, and how might those have affected the results?
The biggest limitation for sure of this study is the size. So this was the first randomized trial to look at this and in an ambulatory setting. And the study included only 60 patients, 30 in each arm. And We anticipated that this sample size would be adequate to see the antiviral effect, and we were pleased to see that our predictions were correct, that we were able to demonstrate a strongly statistically significant effect even with this small sample size. But when we look at a small study like this, what we can't discern from this is the clinical benefit, clearly underpowered to detect a reduction in hospitalizations, although we did see a bit of a trend where we saw a 4 emergency room visits in the placebo group compared to only a single one in the PEG interferon lambda group. But we would need to do a larger study to see those clinical benefits. And in addition, although we anticipate that bringing down the virus level would lead to a transmission benefit, a study of this size is clearly underpowered to demonstrate that.
What are the implications of these findings, and where do you go from here in terms of using type 3 interferons in the pandemic response?
We're quite excited about the antiviral response that we saw, at least from the data that we've seen published to date. This would be one of the more potent antiviral responses that's been demonstrated in clinical trials. And as I mentioned, clearly more potent than the monoclonals, but also more potent than most of the other things that have been evaluated. So we would like to see this move forward, and we're exploring it in a few different options. We have an ongoing phase 2 trial in hospitalized patients to see if catching people early in their course of hospitalization before they require ICU care, if we give them PEG interferon lambda, if that will prevent deterioration. And that study is currently ongoing and enrolling at a number of sites. And we're hoping to launch very shortly a phase 3 trial in the ambulatory setting to increase the sample size and try to demonstrate that the antiviral effects that we saw in this initial trial translate to clinical and potentially transmission benefits as well. And that will be hopefully starting very shortly.
Dr. Feld, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure.